Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Well, the trees are starting to turn color. The temperatures are dropping a bit. No doubt that fall is with us. And if you look at the farm in the fall, I've always enjoyed the farm in the fall. It's a different kind of focus. There's a lot going on. And happy to have Inga Wischer with us, host from Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. She and her husband, Joe Maurer, they own and operate a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. She's joining us today from our WPR studios in Eau Claire. Inga, great to have you with us again.
Hi, Larry. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
I'm really pleased that you were able to take the time. You know, autumn is a busy time, I think, on any farm. Certainly the friends that I have are very busy harvesting and other things right now. Let's talk about what happens on your Wisconsin dairy farm this time of the year.
Well, Larry, I have a smaller farm. I have 30 acres, and we do mostly rotational grazing. I buy all my feed. So that makes my falls not as hectic as some. But I know that my neighbors, they're gearing up. They've got the tractors running, the combines greased up, and they're getting ready to roll here pretty soon, getting all the corn in. But for us, it's a nice time of the year. We get to enjoy a little bit more of that season because our cows are starting to give a little bit less milk. They're getting ready to get dried up in the wintertime. We don't have to put up pasture so often. We're supplementing with a little bit of hay so we can enjoy the fall colors, the wonderful weather we're having, and it's pretty nice.
For people who haven't spent any time on a dairy farm, it does impact the milk to some extent because in your case, it turns off. The spigot turns off eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what we do, we have a seasonal dairy. So that means we try to calve all of our cows within a 2-week window of each other every spring so that we can dry them all up together. And cows have a 60-day period where they're not producing milk. And that's when they're getting ready. That last 60 days of their pregnancy, they want to take a break. So we also get to take a break. If we plan it correctly and if we get all the cows put on time, we can take a 2-month vacation in the wintertime. We still have to be there to feed hay and make sure everything's going okay, but we get to sleep in, which is nice on those really chilly February mornings.
Oh, man. I remember getting up at 5 in the morning to milk cows when I was a kid. And that's not the most pleasant memory of mine. In the wintertime, especially, it's so cold.
Oh, yeah. But then you get in the barn, Larry, and you got the barn lights going, and you get the cows there with their
yeah,
their
they're
heat.
Warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The silage is always frozen in the silo, as I remember, and you sit there with a pick. We had a pick, actually, to dig it out. It was
not the most
pleasant experience of my life, but you are right. Once you get rolling,
yeah. I know. The wintertime, when I first – I'm actually going to be celebrating my 8 years here in Wisconsin farming in November, and I started farming in the fall and early winter. And, boy, what an introduction to Wisconsin, being here in the wintertime. It was amazing. I'm so happy that I've made it through.
And now where were you from?
Washington State originally.
Yeah, so – Washington State winters aren't like ours.
No, not at all.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in today. Maybe you've spent some time on a Wisconsin dairy farm. Love to hear your stories or your experiences, or maybe you're on one right now. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and you can post right there. Maybe you're a fan of Around the Farm Table. What do you enjoy about it? I hope you'll give us a call or shoot us a note. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Well, what are you busy with that isn't focused on the cows then?
You know what I'm going to do? I have this whole idea that next year I'm going to grow 90% of my food. So right now I'm thinking about making more garden beds. I think this is a good time of the year to start thinking about making garden beds for spring. So I'm going to prepare some raised beds. I'm going to buy in some compost. And hopefully, I always think about it this time of the year when I don't actually have to do it because I'm like, I'm going to be gung-ho. I'm going to be self-sufficient. I'm going to can everything. And then springtime hits. And that all goes out the window. But I'm hopeful that maybe this year it'll change.
I'm wondering now, you said 90%. I'm wondering about the 10. What would the 10% be?
Chocolate. Of course.
Of course, I didn't think of that.
And gin. you can't grow everything, right?
No, that's exactly right. I don't know. I don't think we can make chocolate here, or produce chocolate in Wisconsin. But we sure like to eat it.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
We've got some callers online coming up here, so let's take some calls. Again, the number for you to join in, we've got an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. And I thought we had them up, but not quite yet. I guess we don't have them. Apples are a big part of fall. And do you guys have apple trees?
We do. We planted a bunch of apple trees last fall, and then I forgot to turn the fence on one day, and then my cows got out and went right into the apple trees and defoliated all the trees.
Oh.
So they're not as productive as I'd like them to be, but the cows loved them, so that's something, I suppose. But up here in my part of the state, we have so many incredible orchards. So I've been gathering apples up from all of them. And apples are it's just when you're sinking your teeth into an apple this time of the year, doesn't it just make everything fall? It's wonderful.
Nice, juicy apple. Bite into it. The juices roll down the side of your mouth. Mm. I'm hungry. Now let's go to Amy in Weyerhaeuser. Amy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I remember as a kid, my favorite part of the fall on the farm was being in the gravity box, pushing corn down, and the whole smell of fall with the corn stalks. I just love it. And we just moved to a new farm up here, and hopefully starting next year, we will have that same tradition for my granddaughter.
Oh, good. So are you guys farming then where you're at? Or?
It's a small hobby farm. We're going to have beef cattle and chickens, and we have horses and some goats and a little bit of everything, and I'm going to be starting to raise pumpkins and sunflowers.
Oh, what a great idea.
So now how many acres do you have?
20 acres of growing and of growing space, and then some for the horses. So it's not big, but, you know, it's sustainable.
Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of work that goes. I have a 30-acre farm, and sometimes I think, well, it's small, but then, boy, it's a handful still. So 20 acres is still a lot of acres.
Yeah. It's worth it. Farming is the base of life in our whole world, so it's great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, good for you.
Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. Yeah, you can definitely make a living on a 20-acre farm or a 30. You're proving it on a 30-acre farm. You're living proof.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of farming, it's, you know, I know I'm never going to make a ton of money, but I think that I'm so wealthy with the experiences that I get to have and the lifestyle that I get to have, just getting up in the morning, getting the cows milked, and just experiencing. The thing about farming for me is every day I get to notice the subtle changes in every season, in every day, in the flowers coming out in the spring, what's happening in the fall. It's such an amazing way to live your life. And you get to have great food because of it, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you really aren't the only ones that are doing work on your farm. You have beekeepers as well, do you not?
Oh, we do. Yes, this last year we met a grandfather and grandson team, Gordon Waller and Christoph White. They live down the road from us, and they were looking for a place to put their bees. So Christoph asked if he could put some bees on our farm, and we welcomed it. I've always wanted to have bees, but I'm a little bit afraid of getting close to them. So Christoph can take care of all that, and he's just so great at it. Beekeepers are great because they're so calm. They just, I think you have to be when you're working around all the buzzing. But they put some bees on our place this spring. One of the reasons they wanted to is because with our pastures, with a grazing system like we have at our farm, we have a lot of diversity in our pastures. So we have those dandelions coming up. We've got that white clover. We try for a diverse range of plants and flowers on our farm. And that's great habitat for the bees because they always have something to eat. So it was and they just came out yesterday. I was putting up some fence, and across the creek from me, they were pulling honey, and it was just like, this is life. This is so cool. I love this.
So that's what they're doing this time of the year, pulling out honey, eh?
Yeah, and it was amazing to see, and they just worked together so well. And it's fun. I always, when I think about farming and passing farming traditions down to another generation, I always think, of course, dairy farming or crop farming or something. But to see Gordon passing down this tradition of beekeeping to his 20-year-old grandson, it was just beautiful, and seeing them work together and experiencing this, and it's just gorgeous.
Well, it's nice to have the bees right there on your property, too, because then they're helping you out.
Oh, for sure. And right now, I have a bunch of sunflowers growing in my garden, and they are absolutely 3 inches thick with bees. It's so fun to see it. And our pastures have been alive with bees this year, and grassland birds, too. It's fun.
Talking today about life on a farm, life on a dairy farm. In fact, Inga Wisher's farm. She hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. She and her husband, Joe Maurer, own and operate a small organic farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. It's always fun to talk with her. I really want to visit with her about her new series, season of shows, because she's got some. I was looking at the descriptions, and they sound absolutely wonderful. We'll find out some more about those shows and about life on her farm, and certainly I'd love to hear from you about your experiences on the farm. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Hope you'll stay tuned because at 11:45, we're going to keep talking about cows, but from the perspective of using them to create biofuels. Right now, of course, visiting with Inga Wisher of Wisconsin Public Television's Around the Farm Table. And again, 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Colleen in Winneconne, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I am originally from Bayfield County, and my first husband and I, in the winter of 1972, the actual temperature got down to 55 below zero. Hayward, Wisconsin beat us. They got 60 below zero. The manure froze in the gutters. The silo was froze. The furnace wouldn't work because my uncle had number two fuel oil in the furnace whole tank, you know. And we lost 10 head of cows because the bacteria just got so bad with not being able to get it really clean around the cows and stuff like that. But it was the worst winter. I think I should make a sweatshirt saying, I survived the winter of 72 in Bayfield County, you know.
Oh, man. What a story, Inga.
I'm glad I heard that because now this winter, when I start complaining, when it gets to be, you know, 10 below zero, I'm going to think about you, Colleen, and I'm going to say, buck up, Inga, you can get through this. That sounds like a horrible winter.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't have to experience that ever again.
I'm trying to remember that winter. There have been a few like that where the temperatures, you know, you just get so far below zero and you say, what am I doing here? Yeah. Why am I here?
This winter got pretty bad, but luckily, right when we had the polar vortex, my husband and I were having our honeymoon in England, and my dad was left behind on the farm to take care of everything. And we turned on the news in England one day, and we saw what was happening here, and I thought, oh, Dad, I'm so sorry to leave you at home with the cows. And he got through, but he said it was not the most fun he's ever had.
Colleen, thank you very much for sharing that. The winter of 72, there probably weren't very many that were worse than that one. Cynthia in Menominee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. You wanted to share memories. Well, I grew up in a dairy farm, and that is my first life, my first love. And if you want to come in between, you listen to my sister talk about the experiences with the cattle, which she hated. My oldest sister and I loved it. I loved the frosty mornings with the going down to milk the cows, and the north end barn door would be frosted. And you just hear the sounds of the cattle. That's my first love.
Yeah. Oh.
That's wonderful. I think it's. I love hearing the stories of people's memories of farming. For me, I'm the same way, Cynthia. Farming is my first love. I think it's just incredible to be able to be a farmer. And it's, hearing the stories from these folks is, it's just great.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's inspiring. Thank you so much, Cynthia. For
You're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate the call very much. We had a, an email, I believe, from Mona from Appleton, who wondered if there are any organic apple orchards in the Appleton area.
Boy, I'm sure there are. You know what I would do? There's a website, or maybe it's, I don't know what it's a website, but Google Farm Fresh Atlas, and then you can click on the area where you live in, so the Appleton area, and you'll get a list of all the farms in your area. So I'm sure there's going to be some orchards there, and I'm sure there's probably some organic orchards up there too. But it's a Google Farm Fresh Atlas.
I didn't know that site.
Yeah, have you? Oh, they're great. They have it's around the whole state of Wisconsin, and you can go to. They have little booklets that you can find at your local co-ops and farmers markets and things, and it has a listing of all the farms, the value added farms. So if you're looking to buy a half a beef, if you're looking to buy some apples or join a CSA, you can. It shows you all the farmers in your area.
Very cool. Nancy in Grafton, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. I grew up in Marathon County out in Edgar, out in the country. Incidentally, great football team in Edgar, gosh darn. I had to go and chase the cows, get the cows out east, and so I went out to get them, and doggone, they went through a swamp, and I had to chase them out of the swamp. Well, I ran into a whole heck of a lot of mud hornets. Oh. I got so stung up with hornets, you wouldn't believe it. And so I reached down into the mud and the manure and the swamp, and I got myself all full of this wonderful medical care. And I came home. My dad says, "What the heck happened to you?" "Well, I got into these hornets, you know, and I had to take care of it. I couldn't stand it, and I didn't have any scars, nothing. It just no swelling." And of course, I went to the tank where we would cool our milk tanks, milk cans, and washed off my manure. And another good story was in the winter time, where our buildings were in the middle of 160 acres, mm-hmm. and so we had a long driveway, and we were at the end of the section, and it took forever for us to get our roads plowed out. So winter time, couldn't get to school, couldn't get the car out. So anyway, my dad went and took the stone boat, which he cleaned the barn out with in the afternoon, and he put all new straw in that stone boat, and then he put a horse blanket in there, and then we climbed in the stone boat, and away he went over the snow banks and fields, and by golly, we got to school. It was 2 miles, you know, from where our house was. And but we got to school on a stone boat in the afternoon. He went and cleaned out the barn with it. You know, you do what you got to do. God bless you all.
great story, Nancy. Do you have people tell you these? I mean, do you hear these?
I do. I think one of my favorite things is that we get to travel around the state a little bit and meet some people. We just got to go to Green Lake, Wisconsin last night and just met a ton of wonderful people. But everyone shares these stories with me, and I love hearing them because it makes me feel connected to the folks here in Wisconsin and the farming people all around. But it's just it's wonderful because I think when people are telling these farm stories, whether it's all the manure froze in the barn, it's these horrible times, right, that they had experienced, but they look back on it and they laugh and they say, well, that's farming, you know.
that's exactly right. I can remember some of those myself as a kid. And I just the talking about the dairy cows reminded me of the collie that my dad had, Teddy, the collie. And in the summertime, the cattle would, we were on a 300-acre farm, so it was a big farm. And he'd just say to Teddy, "Teddy, go get the cows." And Teddy would take off, and the cows were on, you know, whatever pasture they were in. Teddy would just go on his own and come back with all the cows.
Oh, I love that. I started being able to call my cows in a little bit, but on these mornings when it's, you know, still dark out in the morning and the cows don't want to get up. So what I started doing, and because the cows love Wisconsin Public Radio, I have to say, everyone says that cows produce more milk listening to classical music, but it's listening to Wisconsin Public Radio is what I think it is. And so in the morning, I'll turn on my radio in the barn and Joy Cardine's voice fills the farmyard, and the cows just stand right up and walk right in the barn. It's great.
I can't wait to talk to Joy Cardine. I've got to get a hold of her and say, you know that you bring Inga's cows in the barn? Voice?
Yeah. If you can just tell her, like, every morning around 6, if she could just start saying, like, kabas, kabas. You know, that's the way people call cows in. So if she doesn't mind, it'd be helpful.
Oh, I love it. Oh, believe me. She's going to hear about it. That's for sure. Well, one of the cool things about fall, I think, is the, you know, all this great harvest coming in. Yesterday, we were talking about all the brassicas that come due at, you know, that we're harvesting out of the gardens this time of the year. So there's that. And then there's the apples, as we were talking about earlier. And you have... you've got a great recipe to share with us.
Yeah, it's a recipe for a free-form apple tart. And I like this tart because you don't need a pie pan. You don't need any kind of equipment like that. You just roll out your pastry, and it's a butter pastry, which means it's really good because it's a pound of butter in this thing. And you roll it out, and then you can just sprinkle the crust with a little bit of cinnamon and sugar, lay your apples right on top, put more butter on top, and then pop it in the oven. And it looks really cool because it's kind of a different shape and it's, you know, just kind of cool looking. It's really easy and it tastes really good. I've actually been eating it for breakfast, which I probably shouldn't be, but
why not?
Yeah, exactly. You only live once. And then I've been taking some whipped cream. And we could, the Jerseys this time of the year, they're producing a lot of butterfat in their milk. So we can just literally skim cream off the top of our milk tank. And with the whipped cream, I mix in a little bit of cinnamon and some vanilla. And it tastes really good on top of the apple tart.
Oh, that sounds good. And your milk does turn a little bit more yellow with the
butter.
It
does. It does. It gets
this time of year?
Mm-hmm. It gets more yellow, but really it just gets so fatty. When I first started milking cows, I went back to, or with the Jerseys, I went to an old system, a system from like the 1950s or something. So I'm milking cows in buckets, and I'm pouring it into the milk tank. And when I got that system, I had some older farmers that are friends of mine. They said, are you crazy that you're going back in time? I thought, well, yeah, but it's good. and I would pour the milk into the milk tank, and there would be these clumps of butter that would form in the filter. It was just amazing to see it.
you are amazing. You are Inga Wischer, our guest today, host from Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. She and Joe, her husband Joe Maurer, they own and operate a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. Her dad plays a big role in it, too. And he's the cheese guy, isn't he?
He's the cheese guy. And this afternoon, he's going to transform into the helping Inga fix fence guy. He's our licensed cheesemaker. So I bring milk over to the creamery, and he's the guy that gets it all going. And it's cute because he wears a tie when he makes cheese. He takes it very seriously, and he looks adorable. This season, we actually feature the cheese making process that we do on with our cheese on one of our episodes, and it's fun because just being able to hang out with my dad for a 6-hour session making cheese and just being, you know, just being, it's fun. It's like go to work with your dad day every spring when we're making cheese, and then we get to turn the cheese together. But it was fun because we did this episode about it, and I had to like look at my dad and kind of like, well, Dad, what are you doing now? And I just kept laughing because I was like, this is just so silly, you know. But so we have like 100 different outtakes that we had to do before we got the right one because I just kept giggling.
Well, yeah, because you could do it all in your sleep too.
Yeah.
So that's I will get in that situation too once in a while when I'm interviewing somebody and I really know the topic well and I kind of feel funnies asking, what is this about? When I know full well what it's about. But There I go anyway. Well, listen, let's go over the second season. I looked at it. And, man, it looks great.
It's going to be great. We had such a great time filming everything and being able to meet all these people. Our first episode that's going to air the first Monday in October, I forget what day it is, but it's going to start at 8 p.m., we have the Wisconsin author Michael Perry. Have you gotten a chance to meet Michael Perry yet?
Michael and I go way back. I've interviewed him probably 15 times at least.
That was another episode that was hard to film because, number one, I was so nervous because he's like, you know, the coolest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
And he's so funny. And so through the whole segment that I was interviewing him, I couldn't keep a straight face. And I was just giggly. He's just hilarious. And the way he talks about growing up on a farm and things, it's just, he makes it sound so fun. For that episode, we go over to his house to collect some eggs, but he doesn't have any chickens laying eggs, so he rents hens. And there's some ladies in Eau Claire here that have a service called Rent a Hen. And if you're thinking about getting into some chickens and you're not sure that you want to commit, you can just rent them for a couple of months and get the farm fresh eggs and then decide if it's something that's right for you. And they bring the whole get up to your house and then they kind of pick it back up. Yeah, it's great.
Do they bring the building or whatever?
They bring a little chicken tractor. They bring some chickens and they bring all the feed that you're going to need for that period of time. So it's like the greatest service ever. And in exchange, you get to have fresh eggs every day.
Wow. So that's what he's got.
Well, that's because he was on the road so much that he had to scale back his farming a little bit because he's been so crazy busy. So that was really fun. And then it's so fun filming these episodes because we kind of have to, you know, we throw things together and we're kind of just trying to make it all work. So for that episode, we do a book club party back at our farm. And so we needed some people to attend our book club. So I have two brothers that farm on either side of me. And they're just these handsome Norwegian farmers. And I said, well, guys, I need you guys to come down this afternoon and be in this book club. And they said, what?
Be in a book club?
We're going to do what? And I said, then you're just going to have to eat a nettle souffle and drink some dandelion wine. It'll be fine. So it was really fun filming it.
And so, you make dandelion wine?
No, a place in Eau Claire makes dandelion wine, but they came out to our farm to pick dandelions for their dandelion wine.
Oh,
so they came out to the farm, and we got to sit in the dandelion fields, and they told us a little bit about that process of just making wine and using dandelions. They try to find dandelions that from organic farms that haven't been sprayed with anything because it's important to them to have, good organic dandelions.
I've tried making it once, and it the result was disastrous.
Yeah. I remember when my brothers were, 15 or something, my parents said that they could make dandelion wine. And then they were like, oh, we're going to drink this dandelion wine. And of course, it never turned out. They were so excited.
Yeah, and so disappointed at the end.
So
at least that's the way I was anyway. Oh, so Michael Perry, and then you... you've got another one, obviously, even another show, which what's your second one about? Is that the one where you from Imagination?
Our second, we make our cheese and we sell our cheese down at From Imagination in Madison. It's a great store. If you guys are in the Madison area, pop in there. It's just it's beautiful. And the episode, we make the cheese and then we take it down to From Imagination to drop it off. We learn about a lot of different Wisconsin cheeses with Ken, the owner of From Imagination. And then we take off to a bison ranch in Baldwin, Wisconsin. It's called Silver Bison Ranch. And it was the most amazing experience to see these bison. Now, these folks have 1,000 acres that used to be all in corn. And this is 15 years ago or 20 years ago. And they transitioned it all into pasture for their bison. And what they're finding out is that they have a returning a population of grassland birds.
Oh. And
because of that relationship with animals grazing in the land and the height of the grasses and things, it's now a huge habitat for meadowlarks and bobolinks and all these great species of birds. So we got to see that. And then we got to be in the path. And they move their bison every 12 hours. So they do a rotational grazing, which I think is amazing with animals that look that scary. But they put us in a wagon and they took us out to the field and we got to see the bison running into this brand new pasture. And it felt like I was on a prairie 500 years ago. It was, and the bison move like a wave, just, you know, running through the grasses, and they're so excited to get into this new pasture. It was so spectacular.
Oh, and you've got that all on film.
We do, yeah.
Oh, boy, I can't wait to see that. And the birds, that's what a plus. I wonder if they even considered that at the time when they were...
No, they didn't. They were just saying, okay, well, we want to kind of raise bison naturally. But they have the DNR out there doing this research about the grassland birds because they've just flocked back. And what a great relationship. And what they've also found is their soils are completely different. They have so many different bugs and worms and things in their soils because of that system of grazing. And I'm such a grazing nerd. So it's like, I was just so thrilled to be able to see that.
Oh, and I'm just thinking about birds when you mentioned meadowlark. I thought to myself, that's a bird song that I haven't heard in so long, and it was one of my favorite calls when, you know, I lived on the farm back when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss that. So I'm gonna. You don't have a meadowlark song in the. Oh, that sounds so good. And then you went on a camping trip, didn't you?
We did. We went up north to Hayward, and we went on a little camping trip. We foraged for our food. So we met a wild food expert, Sam Thayer, up there.
Interviewed Sam a number of times, too.
He's so great. He's so relaxed and just what a great guy. And he took half a day with me just walking through the pastures up there on the edge of farmland, just teaching me about all these different kinds of edible foods. And we collected daisy leaves, which taste delicious.
Daisy leaves,
like oxeye daisies. And we just took the leaves off. We were eating the flowers, but we took the leaves off. They tasted great. We had a spiderwort, or I call it chickweed. I find that in my pet. We harvested some of that. Learned about milkweed. It was just amazing to see how much food we have on the roadside and on the outskirts of pastures and cropland. Is just, we should all be out there foraging. It's just amazing.
And you got to try sheep gelato, too.
I did, yes. There's a farm up there that does, it's two sisters and a mother, and they do sheep's milk gelato. And it tastes great. And it's wonderful because for people who are sensitive to lactose, the sheep milk doesn't have, it doesn't bother them, so they can indulge in gelato without, having any problems. And it was just gorgeous to see. And one of the sisters, she's a harpist, so she was playing the harp out in this pasture. And it was just like,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, I was like, Wisconsin's the greatest state ever. It's just so cool.
I love it. I'm getting so enthused about your shows.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, these are going to be great. And you had another one that was fair oriented, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, see, you know, I just like you, I think we talked about this last time, is we both grew up in 4-H, and my summers were spent at the county fair. So we headed up to Green Lake County Fair this last summer, and I made some pizzas for the kids' show and dairy cows there. It was so fun because these kids are just so adorable. I forgot how cute kids are when they're, you know, little kids, and they've got these giant cows, walking around the show ring. And so we cooked right there in front of the dairy barn, and we visited.
Now, how did you do that?
Well, we just sort of showed up and popped open a little charcoal grill and just started grilling up pizzas. And I thought, I was really nervous filming it because I thought someone's going to come over here and they're going to say, excuse me, what are you people doing? And why are you sitting here in front of the dairy barn just cooking something? But nobody ever said anything. So I guess that was good. We got to finish the episode.
Well, yeah, you know, the way to do it is just pretend you're supposed to be there. And
exactly. Just act like you know what you're doing.
Oh, man. So, well, and there are more shows. I want to, we should mention another one or two because sounds so good.
Yeah. One that we just finished filming was our Coob episode. Have you ever played Coob?
No, I have not.
Well, Coop is this game. It's taking the Eau Claire area by storm. It's a Viking game. And so you throw sticks at sticks, kind of. But it's more intense than that. But it's a great game. And it's a game that families can play together. And it brings the community together. So we did an episode where the Coop players come to our farm. And we made veggie burgers. Because we kind of wanted to, like, tailgate. But we eat a lot of vegetarian foods. So we wanted to tailgate vegetarian style. So we did some Coop plan and some hazelnut eating. We went down to New Forest Farm in Viola, and Mark Shepard down there, he's really educated about permaculture, and he's got this great farm down there teaching about permaculture. So we went down there and we harvested some hazelnuts for our burgers, and we got to see how permaculture works. And boy, it's the thing I love doing the show, but it's always like it gives me 10 more things that I want to do on my farming list. I'm like, you know, we come home from a farm and it's like, okay, we're putting bison on over here, we're going to do some sheep's milk gelato over here, and then everything's going into permaculture, you know?
And beer, we're gonna,
yeah, exactly.
You went to a brewery too.
We went up to Valkyrie Brewery in Dallas, Wisconsin, and I felt like I was at home, because in their brewery they make all their beer in old vintage milk tanks, and they had like the same milk tank that I had from 1952, and there are all these like vintage little milk tanks, and the guy was wearing coveralls and barn boots, and I was like, I was wearing that exact same outfit this morning. It was like going home. It was great, and they have great beer.
Oh man. Well, this, and when I want to make sure I've got this. When do the episodes start?
They're going to start on Monday nights in October, right after, I think, Antique Roadshow, and right before Wisconsin Life. Mondays, I'm just looking in my airwaves here, premieres Monday nights, October 6th at 8 p.m. And then they're going to repeat. So if you're like me and you can't stay up till 8 p.m., you can catch it throughout the week on Saturday mornings and Thursday afternoons and things like that.
Oh, well, I've got to have one more. Give me one more of the story.
Oh.
Give me a story from one more.
We got to go to Seed Savers Exchange.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly one of the I started gardening because my dad, when I was 18, gave me a Seed Savers Exchange catalog. And then from there, it was just, I went crazy. And to be there with the co-founder, Diane Wheatley-Ott, mind-blowing.
Oh.
It was like, you know, she's like my Madonna. Like, it was just great. It was like, you're so cool. And I get to talk to you. It was so beautiful. And it's the diversity of what they have down there and the reason why they're saving seeds. And seeing her grandfather, Grandpa Ott's Morning Glories, growing up the barn. It was the most amazing experience ever. I just kept pinching myself the entire time. So that was amazing. And I got to make her some heirloom tomato Bloody Marys. And with all the wonderful vegetables down there, and we picked up some vodka from 45th Parallel over in near Hudson, Wisconsin.
Yep.
And we got to learn how to distill vodka. With every season that we do here, it just amazes me about how great Wisconsin is and how diverse the agriculture here is. It's just exciting.
Well, you know, we had someone call who didn't want to be on the air, but just wanted to say to you how much she enjoys just listening to you talk and the stories that you tell.
Oh, I'm glad someone likes listening to me talk, because I think that my dad and my husband are sick of it. So that is such a nice compliment.
Oh, you're a great talker, Inga. You can come and be on the show anytime.
Oh, I appreciate it, Larry.
I'd rather have you in person, because usually you bring food.
Next time I'll make the trek down.
Okay. Thank you so much, Inga.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you as well. Inga Wischer, our guest today. Wasn't that fun? She is, as I've said a couple times, she is the host of Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. Starting up in October on Monday nights, and there will be repeats through the week, I'm sure. But she and her husband, Joe Maurer, own and operate a small dairy, organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. It's always fun to talk with her. Isn't she? I tell you, she's got so much enthusiasm for what she does, and she's a very positive person. And you know what? It's always fun to be around positive people. At least I think anyway. So much fun to visit with her. I love talking about what goes on in a dairy farm. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a whole different kind of work that goes on with cows, figuring out how to use their digestion or digestion system to make biofuels. So you better stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.